Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me today's sermon title, Ready or Not, Here He Comes. Based on Mark 13, listen to these words from Scripture. Jesus said, take heed, keep on the alert. You do not know when the appointed time will come. It is like a man going away on a journey, who upon leaving his house and putting his servant in charge, assigned to each one his task. He also commanded his doorkeeper to stay on the alert. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midnight, when the rooster crows, or in the morning, in case he should come suddenly and find you asleep. Jesus says, what I say to you, I say to everybody, be on the alert. I invite you to follow the sermon outline. It's printed for you in your worship folder this morning as we consider our theme, Ready or Not, Here He Comes. I'm sure many of you who grew up in North America have played a very fun children's game called, watch, hide and seek. I wonder if children still play this game. I asked people in adult Bible class this morning, and they said many children still play this game, hide and seek. It was a favorite game of my children when they were little. When their friends came over to play, they would beg me, Daddy, 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 please, please play hide and seek. And here is how we would play this old game. I would close my eyes, sometimes even putting my hands over my eyes. The children would all run and find some place to hide. Some of the places they hid were very good, but some were very, very obvious. But I pretend I couldn't see them anyhow, and they delighted in that all the more. Then I would count to 100 as they hid. And when I got to the magic number 100, I would yell out, ready or not, here I come. And oh, the giggling and the laughter that followed as they waited to see who would be the last child to be found. Ready or not, here Jesus comes is a common theme in the church during the season of Advent. It's also the theme of the Mark chapter 13 parable I just read to you about the soon coming of the master of the house. It's the theme of the early Christian church. We talked about it in Bible class this morning. In the early church and in scriptures, when they talked about the coming of Christ, it wasn't so much they were waiting for his first coming as his second coming. One could say that the early church stood on tiptoes, waiting for Jesus' second coming, waiting for the end of the world. St. Mark tells us in the text today, take heed, keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time of his second coming will be. Standing on tiptoes, eyes focused on the horizon, the words of the early church and Holy Scripture are filled with yearning and anticipation. Listen to some of these phrases. The kingdom of God is at hand. The night is far gone. This present age is passing away. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Every word, every deed, every prayer in the church seemed to be shaped by Jesus' second coming, Judgment Day, the end of the world. We at times live on tiptoes, anticipating the future. We all know that the energy of an anticipated future can give to us in the present. Consider all the gifts, the cards, the decorations, the programs, yike, the sermons that have to be prepared before Christmas arrives. Consider also an engaged couple. and all their wedding preparations. Or expectant parents who are busy painting the nursery and assembling the crib from IKEA. But we also know the sense of disappointment, don't we? When the hoped-for future doesn't come. Or it comes and it goes without any significance. Consider when Christmas comes and goes and things didn't work out for you as you planned. Or when wedding plans don't work out. Or when the long-waited-for child never arrives. When things don't work out as we anticipate, and it happens to all of us, in life, our lives get painful or challenging. We may wonder, dear Lord Jesus, are you ever coming back again? And we ask questions like this, don't we? I do. I'm sure you do. Are my efforts in this life making any difference for the future? Is my future secure, you might ask? Is the world really around me right when it makes this pronouncement? There is nothing certain in this life but death and taxes. The early church must have also wondered. St. Mark writes in chapter 13, I quote, "Take heed, be on the alert. You don't know when the appointed time will come. Be on the alert. You don't know when the master of the house is coming back, whether in the evening, midnight, when the rooster crows, or in the morning." Surely these early believers were not immune to a loss of hope, a loss of faith in the coming of the kingdom of God. They weren't immune to a loss of faith in God's care for them in the uncertain future because their days wore on. Our early mothers and fathers in the faith were persecuted for their faith in Jesus. The memories of the risen Jesus were beginning to fade. He hadn't returned as he promised. They sang, "Come, Lord Jesus, come," but instead, marching, angry Roman soldiers came. They sang, "This old world is passing away," but the evil world seemed to be getting worse and worse. You see, people cannot stand on their tiptoes forever. The early believers could join us today in confessing, "Lord, we don't have the strength within us to stand on our tiptoes, to be sure of our future, to fix our hope firmly in God. We are sinners whose faith falters and weakens. Our future, Lord, seems too uncertain and too slippery. Our hands are not strong enough, Lord, to hold on to your promises." And in the face of this reality, St. Mark, in the gospel reading for today, has good news for all of us. This good news is cross-shaped good news. Because the source of our hope and the source of our strength is not our own faith. The source of our hope and strength is not in our ability to stand on our tiptoes and wait. The source of our hope is an act of God in history. It is an accomplished act and an accomplished fact. What we're speaking about is Jesus' death on the cross and the rising from the grave for the forgiveness of our sins and heaven. My friends, we have wonderful news to believe and to share, especially at Christmas time. Why do you think that little baby was laid in the manger? So those tiny hands reaching up for Mother Mary would one day grow to be the hands of the Savior through whom the nails were pounded to pay for the sins of the world, for yours and for mine. And those same nail pierced hands were to rise in Easter victory. Jesus was born in Bethlehem's manger so that he might die and rise for you and me. Something has happened. Jesus has come, and he has done great things for us. In the text in Mark 13, Jesus said he would come at evening, late night, cock crow, and at dawn. And St. Mark, interesting in the text, St. Mark uses these four phrases, evening, late night, cock crow, and dawn, to structure the rest of his gospel. He does this to give us a cross-shaped hope. Let me tell you what I mean. In the text of the parable in Luke 13, we are told that the Lord Jesus may come in the evening. And in the very next chapter, we read these words. When it was evening, Jesus is at table with his disciples. And taking in his hands bread and wine, he tells them, this bread and wine is the same body and blood that will soon be shed for them on the cross for the sins of the world. In the parable in Luke 13, we are told that the Lord may come at late night. And Mark soon records in his gospel, late that night, Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane to prepare for his appointment with the cross the next day. In the parable, we are told that Jesus may come at the crowing of the rooster. And in the very next chapter, Mark describes the event of Peter denying Jesus the third time as the rooster crows. In this parable in Mark 13, we are told the Lord may come at dawn. And Mark records two chapters later, as soon as it was dawn, Jesus is bound by the Roman soldiers and led to the cross. What has Mark heard in Jesus' parable of the soon coming master of the house? He has heard and proclaims to us. And by the way, here is the central thought for the whole sermon. If you take nothing away from you this morning but this central thought, take this, wrap it up in a bow and take it home. Mark tells us that everything uncertain in our future is anchored in the certainty of the cross. The cross tells us what is our sure and lasting hope, Jesus crucified and risen for me. And this same message comes to us again and again and again in the hymns of the church that we sing. Consider these beautiful words from the hymn, In the Cross of Christ I Glory. When the woes of life o'ertake me, hopes deceive and fears annoy, never shall the cross forsake me. Lo, it glows with peace and joy. And how about these words from Rock of Ages? Verse 3, by the way, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. And again from the hymn, in the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time. In the face, and listen to me carefully now, for I look out into your eyes and I know the challenges and don't even know some of the challenges and anxieties you have in your life. But during this Christmas time, Beverly and I are making an effort to visit as many of our dear elderly and shut-in and hospitalized people at Christmas time. They cannot be here, but the Word of God will come to them to give them comfort and joy. In the face of anything this world throws our way, there is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the face of marching, angry Roman soldiers, my only true and lasting hope is this: Jesus Christ crucified and risen for me. In the face of an evil world getting worse every day, Jesus Christ crucified and risen for me. In the face of broken engagements, empty cribs, family trials and heartaches, Jesus Christ crucified and risen for me. In the face of ends that never seem to meet, work that never seems to cease, health that is not improving, Jesus Christ crucified and risen for me. And finally, in the face of my standing on judgment day before a holy and almighty God, covered with all of my sins, my only hope is this: Jesus Christ crucified and risen for me. And in the beautiful face of Jesus on the cross, we see an absolute assurance of God's undying love for us and his loving plan for our future. As we stare into the beautiful face of Jesus on that cross, we hear God speaking to us today through the prophet Jeremiah. Chapter 29, verse 11. Take this verse home and wrap it up today. God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for calamity, plans to give you a future and a sure hope." Every moment of the day is alive with the promise of God's future and Jesus' return. Every tick, tick, tick of the clock brings us closer to God's new day, the kingdom come, the return of the Lord for his church. And my friends, in the church, like nowhere else, we realize that something is about to happen. That Jesus has come to us in the past. He is coming to us in the present. And he will one day come to take us home to our heavenly home. St. Mark proclaims, "What I say to you, I say to all, be on the alert." Every time we recite the creed, he will come to judge the living and the dead. God assures us that the frail human justice based on an earthly legal system is not all the justice that our life holds. Come, Lord Jesus. Every time a baby is baptized, God reminds us of his fatherly love and mercy that seeks us out and sustains us until kingdom come. Come, Lord Jesus. Every time we hear Jesus' precious words, "Take and eat, take and drink, this is my body and blood given for you," we receive what the liturgy calls a foretaste of the feast to come. Come, Lord Jesus. Every time Christian people speak a word of forgiveness in Jesus' name, in a situation of hurt or bitterness, we are speaking in a future tense, a language all of creation will one day learn to say, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." Yes, something has and is happening under the cross, and something will one day happen. When God, our Heavenly Father, decides the time is right, he will once again send to us Jesus, our Savior. But this time, not as a baby at Bethlehem, but as the Lord of all creation, master over sin and death and devil. And until that day, we join in praying the very last prayer in the Holy Bible, the very last prayer written in the book of Revelation, the prayer written in Revelation 22:20, and it says, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." Ready or not, but you can be ready. Here he comes. Come, Lord Jesus, come. At Bethlehem, at world's end, and finally take us home. In the name of Jesus, amen.